I have to say I am absolutely thrilled to be standing here. This church has been my family, I'm going to tell you now, you ready? 20 years. There are those who were here when I was baptized. They helped me. I was baptized as an adult, and they helped me grow up. And they helped me in my faith. They sent me to seminary. They took care of me. Not to mention abused my flute playing, which I loved every minute of. So thank you for welcoming me here this morning. Our Old Testament scripture this morning is from Joshua, chapter 3, verses 7 to 17. Listen for the word of God. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you, as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you shall come to the edge of the waters of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now, select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rests in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing towards the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. This lectionary, this particular time of the year, has taken us in the Old Testament mostly through the book of Exodus, which is the world of Moses and the Israelites. But today, we're in the world of Joshua and the Israelites. God has been with Moses throughout their travails, just as he is now with Joshua. The Israelites left Egypt to escape slavery. They escaped slavery to go to the wilderness. They went through the wilderness to get to the Jordan, and they went to the Jordan to get to the promised land. So crossing the Jordan seems to be the goal, but it's not the end point. It's just one point on a continuum. God was there before, during, and after the Israelites crossed the Jordan, and God has continued to be there throughout history. In the New Yorker magazine, they have a caption contest every issue. They show a cartoon without a caption, and people write in hoping to be the one to be the winning caption. So there's one cartoon that shows a couple looking like they're sitting in their living room, their legs are crossed, they're dressed, they look maybe ready to go out. But instead of reading the newspaper, they're each reading a stone tablet. And the caption says, "Oh, darn, this is yesterday's." God's saving acts and presence with us as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night is not yesterday's news. It's today's news and everything in between. Society has always been fraught with the unexpected. There are all of these liminal spaces that we have to get through to get to the other side. But in all cases, God got there first. God gave instructions for the Israelites to follow. They were very liturgical. There were specific instructions about how to build the Ark of the Covenant, what to put into it, how to carry it, and where to keep it. Before crossing the Jordan, God gave specific liturgical-like instructions about who was to carry the Ark, where they were supposed to go, what would happen, and what would come next. The Israelites were to give the ark to the priests to carry. And the priests were to go to the Jordan and step into its flood stage banks. And the water would pile in a heap to the north and to the south. And the priests with the ark would walk to the middle of the Jordan. And then all the people would cross over the Jordan, and those with the ark would follow after those had crossed. And once they got there, God was already with them on the other side. The crossing of the Jordan was part of a continuum. God was there before, during, and has been there forever. In a way, the priest stepping into the Jordan could be seen as the first baptism in the Jordan. They had to step into the grace that was already there waiting for them. They had to get their feet wet. It was a leap of faith. Stepping into the dangerous path of floodwaters is a huge leap of faith. They stepped into what would later become a heap of water. Now, I don't know what a heap of water is. I think of a heap as solid things, a heap of steel on a junk pile, or a heap of leaves that you jump into when you've raked all the leaves together. I asked my friend what a heap of water is, and she said, ice cubes. It's hard to imagine a heap of something liquid. But I looked up the Hebrew in this case, and it really is a rarely used word that means heap of waters. The Israelites stepped in before the ground was dry. They were taking a stand in favor of God and God's promises. Crossing the Jordan, being baptized in the Jordan, was only one point in time. Just like getting baptized is only one point in time. I've told you this already. I was baptized here as an adult. For those who are counting, 20 years ago this month, I'm not counting. Somebody put a heap of water on my head. It was a pivotal day for me and continues to be a day that I mark in my own life. God was with me before that day, during those moments, and will be forever. Being baptized was a point in a continuum. It wasn't the goal, but it was part of my journey. Just as crossing the Jordan is a huge goal, it's still only part of a journey. It's the journey of a community. Everything is about community. That's the whole sermon right there. Everything is about community. Amen. Whether it's using the same lectionary, marking Reformation Sunday, gathering for worship on Sundays, joining in song, celebrating the sacraments of baptism and communion, being in choir, having fellowship together, being in meetings, and more meetings and more meetings. We're all in a type of community that we call church community. There are other types of community. Everything we are puts us in touch with others like us. I'm a woman. I'm a pastor. I'm a musician. I like baseball. I appreciate solitude. I love detective novels. I'm open-minded, and so on. Who are you? It's worth a moment. Think about that. When we feel without community, we feel lost, unwanted, and inferior. And when we feel lost and unwanted and inferior, we long for some kind of community, so we make bad choices. We join gangs. We hang out with troublemakers. We find other outcasts like ourselves. Or just avoid community altogether and isolate ourselves. We long to be understood, and communities help us satisfy that longing. This world, this country, this city, this congregation are some of the ways that we are part of community. For some of us, being in community with those unlike ourselves satisfies our need for diversity. In community. Diversity spreads our wings, nourishes our creativity, perhaps stretches us beyond our comfort zones, provides variety, and teaches us things we would not have learned any other way. Diversity brings on the unexpected, and diversity promotes growth. Participating in growth is sometimes a leap of faith. Sometimes you just have to get your feet wet. The Indigo Girls have a song, and one of the lines says, "It's not just a chin and a hand and a thoughtful pose. You have to have a shovel if you want a rose." Growth can be messy. Growth can be scary. Growth includes that anxiety-ridden place called liminal space where you don't know. You're in the dark garage where it's pitch black. Once you get your feet wet, you're still not sure what's on the other side. I put in an application to be a chaplain resident at California Pacific Medical Center. I was sure I would get it. I didn't feel as if I was extra special. It's just that I had this really strong feeling that that's what was next for me. I took a step into the waters. I sent in what is really a very personal application. I had a great interview. I was told that my application was one of the best they had seen, and I didn't get the residency. I was crushed. I was so sure. And I had taken such a risk putting all that personal information out there. How could it not be? The hospital offered me what is called an extended unit for chaplain interns, which is basically the same thing as a residency, but less weekly time is needed, and you work for twice as many weeks. As it turns out, that has been the better move for me. It gives me the same experience, but I have time to do other things that I'm doing, and I have more time to actually spend doing the job of a chaplain. I stepped out. I didn't get what I wanted, but I got something better. God's grace got there before I did. In the same vein, my friend had an audition for the Metropolitan Opera. There were a series of auditions to pass, and when she finished the last one before auditioning in New York, she said that amazingly she thought she sang the best she ever had. But she didn't advance to the next level. She said she was confused because she certainly did well, and she didn't receive any feedback about what could have been better. As it turns out, most of the people from that L.A. audition group who did advance were from the L.A. Opera Company. It was disappointing. But one of the judges was a local guy, and she got an email the next week from that judge who has written an opera so new it's copyright 2013. And he wants her to do the workshop with the San Francisco Opera. By the way, it's called The Gospel of Mary Magdalene. When it comes out, I suppose you should go see it. Someone told me that lots of people take the Met audition, and that looks great on a resume, but it can be political. But workshopping a brand new piece for the composer with a professional opera company will show more of her skills and will look better on her lineup of experiences. She took a step. She didn't get what she wanted, but she got something better. And Grace got there before she did. The Israelites of that time were one culture, with much in common and also full of diversities. They were all Israelites, followers of the God of Abraham and Moses. They had a common history, common adversities, but there were still different tribes and families. They were like any community with their habits and customs and differences and anxieties, but they functioned as one when they needed to. The story today doesn't read, "and some of the people crossed over." It reads, "all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground." It's a big risk to step into the water. It reminds me of learning how to swim when you're first learning how to dive. Put your arms over your head, hold your hands together, and fall forward. Just let yourself fall. Yeah, right. That takes courage and trust and willingness. For the Israelites, the risk was that the water would not turn into a heap to the north and south, and they would not have dry ground. But they took the first step. It took courage and trust and willingness. Whether a community, a small group, or even an individual, you have to take the first step. You never know where it will take you. And maybe Grace is already there waiting for you. Let's pray. Loving God, you are the one who gives us courage, allows us to trust, and gives us the willingness to take the first step, whatever that first step may be. We may have expectations, you may have something else in mind, but your grace is always there, the beginning and the middle and the other side. Amen.